chilled Clavaine. The things she could unravel. She isn't a failure, not at all. I think she's something miraculous we barely comprehend. Unlike the worms, yes. They're like clockwork toys, programmed with a few simple rules. Setter Holmes stooped down and grabbed the ice pick for himself. They always respond in exactly the same way to the same input stimulus. And the kinds of stimuli they respond to are simple in the extreme. A few gradations of temperature, a few biochemical cues picked up from the ice itself, but the emergent properties. Clavaine forced himself to a sitting position. There's that word again. It's the network, Neville. The system of tunnels the worms dig through the ice. Don't you understand? That's where the real complexity lies. That's what I was always more interested in. Of course, it took me years to see it for what it was, which was a self-evolving network. One that has the capacity to adapt, to learn. It's just a series of channels bored through ice, Setter Holmes. No, it's infinitely more than that. The man craned his neck as far as the architecture of his suit would allow, reveling in the palatial beauty of the chamber. There are two essential elements in any neural network, Neville. Connections and nodes are necessary, but not enough. The connections must be capable of being weighted, adjusted in strength according to usefulness, and the nodes must be capable of processing the inputs from the connections in a deterministic manner, like logic gates. He gestured around the chamber. Here, there is no absolutely sharp distinction between the connections and the nodes, but the essence remain. The worms lay down secretions when they travel, and those secretions determine how other worms make use of the same channels, whether they utilize one route or another. There are many determining factors, the sexes of the worms, the seasons, the others I won't bore you with, but the point is simple. The secretions and the effect they have on the worms mean that the topology of the network is governed by subtle emergent principles, and the breeding tangles function as logic gates, processing the inputs from their connecting nodes according to the rules of worm sex, caste, and hierarchy. It's messy, slow, and biological, but the end result is that the worm colony as a whole functions as a neural network. It's a program that the worms themselves are running, even though any given worm hasn't a clue that it's a part of a larger whole. Clavaine absorbed all that and thought carefully before asking the question that occurred to him. How does it change? Slowly, Setter Holmes said. Sometimes roots fall into disuse because the secretions inhibit other worms from using them. Gradually, the glacier seals them shut. At the same time, other cracks open by chance. The glacier's own fracturing imposes a constant chaotic background on the network, where the worms bore new holes. Seen in slow motion, our time frame, almost nothing ever seems to happen, let alone change. But imagine speeding things up, Neville. Imagine if we could see the way the network has changed over the last century or the last 1,000 years. Imagine what we might find. A constantly evolving loom of connections, shifting and changing eternally. Now, does that remind you of anything? Clavaine answered in the only way that he knew would satisfy Setter Holmes. A mind, I suppose. A newborn one. Still forging neural connections. Yes. Oh, you'd undoubtedly like to point out that the network is isolated, so it can't be responding to stimuli beyond itself. But we can't know that for certain. A season is like a heartbeat here, Neville. What we think of as geologically slow processes, a glacier cracking or two glaciers colliding, those events could be as forceful as caresses and sounds to a blind child. He paused and glanced at the screen in the back of the imaging radar. That's what I wanted to find out. A century ago, I was able to study the network for a handful of decades, and I found something that astonished me. The colony moves, reshapes itself constantly as the glacier shifts and breaks up. But no matter how radically the network changes its periphery, no matter how thoroughly the loom evolves, there are deep structures inside the network that are always preserved. Setter Holmes' finger traced the red mass at the heart of the green tunnel map. In the language of network topology, the tunnel system is scale-free rather than exponential. It's the hallmark of a highly organized network with a few rather specialized processing centers, hubs, if you like. This is one. I believe its function is to cause the whole network to move away from a widening fracture in the glacier. It will take me much more than a century to know for sure, although everything I've seen here confirms what I thought originally. I mapped other structures in other colonies, too. They can be huge, spread across cubic kilometers of ice, but they always persist. Don't you see what that means? The network has begun to develop specialized areas of function. It's begun to process information, Neville. It's begun to creep its way toward thought. Clavaine looked around him once more, trying to see the chamber in the new light that Setterholm had revealed. Think not of the worms as entities in their own right, he thought, but as electrical signals, ghosting along synaptic pathways in a neural network made of solid ice. He shivered. It was the only appropriate response. Even if the network processes information, there's no reason to think it could ever become conscious. Why, Neville? What's the fundamental difference between perceiving the universe via electrical signals transmitted along nerve tissue and via fracture patterns moving through a vast block of ice? I suppose you have a point. I had to save them, Neville. Not just the worms, but the network they were a part of. We couldn't come all this way and just wipe out the first thinking thing we'd ever encountered in the universe, just because it didn't fit into our neat little preconceived notions of what alien thought would actually be like. But saving the worms meant killing everyone else. You think I didn't realize that? You think it didn't agonize me to do what I had to do? I'm a human being, Neville, not a monster. I knew exactly what I was doing, and I knew exactly what it would make me look like to anyone who came here afterwards. But you still did it. Put yourself in my shoes. How would you have acted? Clavaine opened his mouth, expecting an answer to spring to mind. But nothing came, not for several seconds. He was thinking about Setterholm's question more thoroughly than he had done so far. Until then, he had satisfied himself with the quiet, unquestioned assumption that he would not have acted the way Setterholm had done. But could he really be so sure? Setterholm, after all, had truly believed that the network formed a sentient whole, a thinking being. Possessing that knowledge must have made him feel divinely chosen, sanctioned to commit any act to preserve the fabulously rare thing he had found. And he had, after all, been right. You haven't answered me. That's because I thought the question warranted something more than a flippant answer, Setterholm. I like to think I wouldn't have acted the way you did, but I don't suppose I can ever be sure of that. Clavaine stood up, inspecting his suit for damage, relieved that the scuffle had not injured him. You'll never know. No, I never will. But one thing's clear enough. I've heard you talk, heard the fire in your words. You believe in your network, and yet you still couldn't make the others see it. I doubt I'd have been able to do much better, and I doubt that I'd have thought of a better way to preserve what you'd found than you'd have killed everyone just like I did. The realization of it was like a hard burden someone had just placed on his shoulders. It was so much easier to feel incapable of such acts. But Clavaine had been a soldier. He had killed more people than he could remember, even though those days had been a long time ago. It was really a lot less difficult to do when you had a cause to believe in. And Setterholm had definitely had a cause. Perhaps, Clavaine said, perhaps I might have, yes. He heard Setterholm sigh. I'm glad. For a moment there, for a moment what? When you showed up with that pick, I thought you were planning to kill me. Setterholm hefted the pick, much as Clavaine had done earlier. You wouldn't have done that, would you? I don't deny that what I did was regrettable, but I had to do it. I understand. But what happens to me now? I can stay with you all, can't I? We probably won't be staying on Diadem, I'm afraid. And I don't think you'd really want to come with us. Not if you knew what we're really like. You can't leave me alone here. Not again. Why not? You'll have your worms, and you can always kill yourself again and see who shows up next. Clavaine turned to leave. No, you can't go now. I'll leave your rover on the surface. Maybe there are some supplies in it. Just don't come anywhere near the base again. You won't